A blonde and a brunette walk into a bar, a room, to talk about Jesus, exploring God's word, tackling topics no one likes talking about, discussing biblical truths, and dodging bad theology on the way. This is Her Theology. Hello, ladies, and welcome back to Her Theology in another episode here. I don't have Kirst with me today. She is still on holidays, but it's me, Cass, hosting this. And I have my beautiful friend Jen here.
Hello.
And Jen is a dear friend of mine, also a work colleague. So it's like just a two-in-one win-win.
It is a win-win.
Can't go wrong. And I'm currently doing this series, which you are all along on the journey with, tackling kind of topics and subjects that us women tend to face a lot, but maybe we don't talk about awful lot. And that's, we probably don't talk about a lot of these topics because they're uncomfortable. We don't know how to help people through it. Maybe we haven't gone through it ourselves. A wide variety of reasons. But I just wanted to bring to light some of these. So our last episode was facing stillbirth and hearing from Katie from More Than Wildflowers. And then today we're going to talk about miscarriage and just what that journey is like and how to support people and just to hear your testimony, Jen.
Yeah, so sure.
Thank you for that. And then we're also going to address some other topics coming up, abortion, how to help people with unplanned pregnancies, which Jen will come back on for that one with me.
One of my favourite topics. Yeah.
You'll find out why. No secret. And a few other I'm also going to speak to a lady who's in her 80s. And has been single her whole life, faithful Christian, crazy story. There's a big surprise at the end, but I'm not going
to
spoil
that one.
Yes. So there's a lot of exciting things coming up. But so if you're new to Her Theology, thank you for listening. We always say this at the end, but I'm going to pop this at the beginning because we need to beat the algorithm. In order for us to get out there, we need you to like us, love us, review us, subscribe to us. Do all the things to join us and our community. So if you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it with your friends and family because I'm sure it can be an encouragement and helpful insight to other people that are affected with miscarriage or perhaps know people that have been. And also, if you can hop onto our social medias and follow us, that would be really helpful. But did I even say my name? My name's Cass.
Yes.
So if you're new, that's who I am.
Cass, lovely to meet you, Cass.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, Jen.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit just who you are? Who are you?
Who am I? So I'm Jen. I am a wife, mother, sister and daughter. I'm hopefully a good friend. I'm going to choke, 48. I know, but in my heart I'm 25, so we'll run with that. I identify as a 25-year-old.
And don't they say 50 is the new 20?
Oh, dear Lord.
I don't know how it works. Don't they say like every...
Yeah. 40 is the new 30. Well, yeah, hopefully 50 is the new 32. But I am married. I've got a gorgeous husband, been married going on 12 years, so I got married a bit later in life.
Amazing.
Grew up, good nuclear Aussie family in the outskirts of Sydney. Mum and dad still married and one of two siblings. And I'm also an aunt. I have two nieces.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, nieces and nephews, yes.
Nice, And what else? I think she's missing out a major part.
I don't identify that as my identity, but I also run an organisation called Diamond Women, helping women facing an unplanned pregnancy.
Yes. Yeah. And so Jen started this little dream 15 years ago.
15 years, yep. February will be 16. Isn't that crazy? Time flies. Yes.
So you will hear more about the work we do at Diamond Women in the future episode on unplanned pregnancies. But if you want to, check out Diamond Women and where do they go?
www.diamondwomen.com.au.
And you can find out everything. And definitely follow Diamond Women on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, all the
and
things.
And you can just keep track of everything that's going on in Diamond
Women
World.
And they're quite fun posts. It's not boring
information. Yeah, no, totally.
I don't like following boring posts, yes.
And, we're working with helping women navigate an unplanned pregnancy.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome work that we do.
Yeah,
Anyway, well, I asked you to come on because, Jen, you have a pretty full-on testimony when it comes to children and just that whole journey, I guess. Yep. I'm saying journey a lot, but that's what it is. It's a journey. You have a beautiful boy, Benji.
I do. He turns 10 tomorrow. Oh my word.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So maybe you can just pass on, fill us in.
Fill us in how he came about. Well, you know,
yeah.
There was a man and a woman, they loved each other and got married. But
the birds and bees.
So I had always envisioned two children. That was just, you know, I grew up in a family that enjoyed travel and we had, you know. So I always thought two would be good. It was actually the first question Reese ever asked me before we, as we met. It was so weird. I thought, what a weirdo. He said, how many children do you want? I know who does that, you know.
It was a good sign. It was intentional, right?
I was like, oh, okay, two. And then, so I remember waking up one night. I don't know how long we'd been married, going, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I'm fertile. I don't know anything. Like, and I need to, and started, you know, downloaded the tracker at 4 o'clock in the morning to go, I should pay attention to this. And then I think it was like 9 months later we conceived and had Ben, and I think my cycle was like late the month before, so I don't know if I'd had a miscarriage then. It wasn't a thing that was in discussion.
And it wasn't in your
forethinking? No, it wasn't in my forethinking, and I kind of hadn't given – I was like – I felt like my cycle was so healthy and to the hour, 28 days to the hour.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I'm a breeding machine.
Yeah.
So no worries there. And so we had Benj, and then he came with colic and reflux. And being older, my body just was like – tired a lot. It was a shock to my system. And so when I eventually mustered the courage to begin the conversation around another child, I thought, okay, well, you know, then I'll be done. And I'll be done by the time I'm 40. And I remember it was my 40th birthday. I was overseas on holidays. My husband gifted me with it to go see one of my best friends overseas. And we were at a restaurant. I went to the bathroom and I'm like, oh no. And she were quite close, and she came in, she goes, let me see. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry, Jen. And, you know, I'd started bleeding heavily, and she'd already had a couple of miscarriages and knew what that meant. And I had a...
How far along were you?
I was around 6 weeks.
Did you know?
Yeah, I knew I was newly pregnant, and I knew traveling. Traveling was not a risk at that stage.
Yeah.
Fertility doctor later told me that it can be, particularly as you're older, and
right.
That flying pregnancy did not know that. Great. No, did not know that. Didn't know a lot of things that turned out. And then I'm like, okay, you know, and it's first miscarriage. I'm like, okay, you know, you process it like, all right, well, maybe it was meant to be. Maybe, you know, God was protecting me from something. Okay, I trust the Lord for the, you know, going forward. And then we tried again the second miscarriage. I'm like, I think I was in a department store in the city, and I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, oh, heartbroken, and then going, oh my gosh, this just happened here. Like, I've literally lost a life that's significant to me in a department store. I'm like, I don't know how to process this, so just went home.
Yeah.
And then we started to see doctors, and they're like, okay, and then we went again, and then it started happening again at that 6 to 8 week. Except this time they said, look, we want to go in and we want to test the baby. We want to test your fetus, which is Latin for little child, to see if there's any abnormalities. And I was like, I was psyched, because I was like, for there to be an abnormality, because to me that could be the only thing that could explain the validity of me not carrying a child. And there wasn't.
Yeah.
It was perfect. So I'm like, well, then it's my fault. And so then, sorry about my voice.
No, don't apologize.
So then I'm like, okay, so then I'm like, oh no, now we're going to have to get more medical interventions. And that was just, it just seemed exhausting. I'm running a ministry for pregnant women. I don't have the time to go and see specialists and start poking and prodding. And I was doing blood tests every second and third day, so I felt like a pincushion.
It's so invasive.
And I'm like, oh, it's just time and the heads, but it felt like a full-time job. You know, where am I at? What have I eaten? What have I injected with? What have I got to apply soon? What have I got to test for this? What do I report in? And I was like, oh, it just felt so much. And then at the fourth miscarriage, I was like, we saw another obstetrician, and I'm like, lucky he was charming and good looking. <'Cause> he goes, yeah, your age, yeah, Like, and then
like that's,
you got
like,
nothing.
Like, that's just the reality.
The reality just was okay. Really straight. And we'd done through all the tests. So Risa got tested and he's fine. So he felt chuffed. And then for me, it was you get, you know, your eggs drop over as you age. Mm-hmm. But mine were like beneath the graph. Like, I had no eggs, which okay. was so random for me.
So correct me just yeah. quickly. I would have thought no eggs means you can't conceive. Not that you would necessarily – do you know what I mean? Like, okay, I would have assumed that meant
yeah,
you're struggling to conceive. But it doesn't mean once you conceive there's an issue with age.
Look, how they explained it, and this is not meant to offend yeah. anyone. It's just how they explained it to me. They said you're born with the number of eggs you get, and what happens is as you go down to the bottom of the bucket, it's like you're scraping the bottom of the bucket. Like, it's the like, eggs are, like, wonky, yeah, right. not great – little yeah. bit.
See, I would have never known
they've been
that.
Hanging out too long. You know, yeah, you might look okay. 25 on the outside, but your eggs are actually 38.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, how like they're old egg. They're a bit shabby.
So I'm sure there's a real science behind that. They've had to explain yeah, it to you.
As I said, lucky my obstetrician was very good yeah. looking and charming. I'll punch him in the nose.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, wow. And there's actually nothing you can do about that.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
no diet, no Botox for eggs. Like, it's no. what they are. So I was like, right. And then so we just thought, okay, we saw fertility doctors, not IVF. We saw, like, natural ones and whatever else. And they used, you know, progesterone pessaries, which would increase my chances of carrying the pregnancy to term. And then at the fifth, like, I'm like, because at this point, you know, it's getting embarrassing asking people to pray for you because you're pregnant again. Yeah. It's getting awkward.
And how many – is this like in the space of a few years or
– it? Yeah, it was probably over 4 years.
Yeah, okay.
And
– so it's like every
– or less, to be honest.
Every 6-ish
months.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fifth one, like, we felt good. Like, we're like, okay, we've got a heartbeat. And then – the heartbeat just wasn't strong enough. And then that was a real, like, when you've seen a heartbeat, it's a real kick in the yeah, guts. No. And at this point, I'd, like, bargained with God, negotiated, pleaded, petitioned. And I'm like, I couldn't understand why he just couldn't sustain that one for me.
Yeah. It's hard.
And I felt entitled. Mm. I felt like I'm doing his work. I'm being obedient and I'm saving lives and saving children in the womb. Could he not protect mine?
Yeah.
And but the thing is, I think what Jesus did for me on the cross was enough. He doesn't need to do anything more.
Mm.
And at the same time, I have to trust in his sovereignty, and because I don't I don't know the big picture in all this. Maybe it was for this podcast, you know, like I don't know. And I'm okay with that. But in that moment, and when I say that moment took about a year.
Oh, gosh, yeah. No, totally. Yes.
In that moment of 365 days, I genuinely struggled to read my Bible, and I loved God. Like, I believed that he loved me, but at the same time, I didn't like him very much.
No. Yep.
And I was annoyed and angry and hurt and all the emotions.
It's very real.
But I had loved him for a long time and couldn't – I refused to forsake I refused to forsake him for something that I didn't want. That is called a gift in the Bible, which doesn't come with entitlement. It's called a gift.
That's beautiful.
I am so sorry.
No. Don't apologize.
We pushed on, and my husband he was fine. He kind of resigned to it more than me. I felt I'd ripped my son off in a sense, because I think in part he was for me and his sibling was for him.
Yes.
And so I had to rethink how I could create a big family for him, and how do I build friendships for him that feel like siblings.
Yeah.
And so that still continues. Hello, he's nearly 10.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just it had to, I had to shift the way I saw family because one, I used to think, I'm so sorry for those that only have one, but I used to think that was selfish, you know, like,
yeah, no,
like children need each other. But I don't, you can never assume, you know, because you don't know people's stories. But yeah, I just always thought, you know, one for, you know, two parents, two kids, it works for me, yeah. We're balanced.
No, yeah, you one's had the outnumbered. Idea, like, yeah, yeah, that's what
and
you
it
wanted.
Was the ideal, you know. I got married late because I think I had watched way too many Hollywood movies and was genuinely expecting the Hollywood romance. Yeah. And so I don't think any guy truly lived up. I'm so sorry.
Watched too many, Bridget Jones Diary.
Way too many. I mean, like, oh my gosh, I would pray over movies. Lord, let it be just like that. Seriously.
And then reality came.
Oh my god, I didn't even then I had to have like full god moments. And so it was the bump, it was the bursting of expectations and dreams. Mm. And I think, you know, that's what happens in life, you know, even with my son, he may choose a career or a path that I don't agree with and that will burst my expectation again. So I think that's why we have to surrender all that stuff to Christ and trust that he is in control, because otherwise, you know, it becomes a spiral of, does, you know, you're trying to massage your life and your experiences around your own dreams without trusting, you know, the giver of life and the one that navigates our destiny and plans our footsteps.
And so how did you said, you know, it was a good year after the fifth. I mean, I feel like there would have been probably lots of times in the lead up to that as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like this crushing of the soul.
Yeah.
But what were some of the things that really helped navigate you out of those places in your faith?
A few good friends, you know, that just were championing me about that, like some of them are just gold, and you just, you know, knowing that, like, there's no, I mean, like, it's hard, everyone that goes through a miscarriage, you know, your emotions around it can change day to day. Like, one day I'll just be like, I just want to cry and feel sorry for myself, and the next day I'm like, you know what, it's okay, I'm good. Yeah. I'm just heartbroken, you know. And then how do you navigate a friend's baby showers, or you know, or someone, a friend that's angry that they're pregnant again, when you're like, are you kidding? Just give it to me.
Like, yeah, I would give anything
look, carry it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. You're like, don't sign complain. It yeah.
You know? Totally. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I think that's what Eric God graced me because of the field that I work in. I can just remove myself and go, everyone's journey is different, you know? Yeah, like, there's people that would hate to have my life with only one child, and then others that, you know, are like, I wish I only had one child. Like, it can't compare. It's always greener on the other side. But I think just having people that were willing to, like, go to bat for me for prayer in those moments.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what about, like, was there anything, like, specific that people did that probably didn't help?
Oh,
I asked this in our last episode because I know it's a tricky question, but it's good for us to know what not to say or what not to do. I know it's not always a perfect answer.
And it's fine.
But
I think that the biggest problem occurs when you presume that you know what that person's going through.
Yeah.
And so if you go, oh, I'm so it's for the best, or there was something, or you'll have another one. You don't know that. So just go, just ask the questions, where are you at with it right now? And just go, I'm just feel hollow, or I feel numb, or I'm disappointed, or I'm angry. Then meet them where they're at right there. Don't presume that they're depressed, because they might be, they were there yesterday, but they've just dug themselves out.
Yeah. Yes.
They see the light. Like, I only have to pay for one load of private tuition. So great.
Yeah, like, I can see benefits.
You know what? I'm gonna cling to hope that God's in control and got this, you know. And I'm just going to pray for a lot of grandbabies. Like, So it's fine. Or all my friends are like 5 to 10 years younger, I'm going to be surrounded by babies for a long time.
True.
I actually don't need my own on my lap. Mm. Yeah. So it's just about meeting them where they're at and not presuming that they're just going to and everyone, like I've met people because I'm kind of, I just trust my babies are with the Lord. I don't go there. I don't think about it a whole lot. But there's a lot of people that like really want to commemorate and name and memorialize their children. And I love that, but that wasn't for me. Like I'm like,
that's not what you needed.
That's not what I needed. I just needed to know that they were with Jesus. I feel like I kind of have a hint of what their names are.
Yeah.
But I just trust God with that, and we'll deal with that in the next side of eternity, you know. Mm. And then I just got to get on with the one that he has entrusted me with now and try not to mess that up.
Yeah, don't we all? Can you talk us through – not talk us through, I don't want to re-trigger you, but how do you overcome that? Like how do you move forward when you're getting news like that? Because I know there might be some women right now listening that are in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And going, I just can't see a light at the end. I want to give up, or there's something wrong with me. You did mention that before, like that constant.
Yeah.
And a few of my friends that have been through that talk about that guilt and that shame. Yeah. Even though they know better, they know it's not their fault necessarily, like in the sense of they haven't done anything. But yeah, I guess maybe you can walk us through what's it like when you're in that space and
one of my friends has got four kids, and they're amazing kids. Some of them are grown up now. And I said to her, like, how, you're amazing. And she goes, you know what, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as parents is we take too much credit for when our kids do good and too much responsibility when they don't. And I went, wow. And I think that's the same for, you know, in navigating making babies or not. You know, we take too much credit for when we, you know, I bred six children or I couldn't, and take too much blame. You know, I think we've got to go back to, children are a gift. You don't ask for gifts. You know, you don't demand gifts. They're just given, and you trust God that whatever you're given is your portion, and you do the best with that gift that you've been given, you know, and that we're asked to steward them. And so, you know, I call Ben Benjamin because he's the son of my right hand, you know. But more importantly, I pray that he's the son of God's right hand, you know, like that he's
– Amen.
That he will put 10,000 to flight. And I don't know, but that's between him and Jesus.
Yep.
So I think we just have to trust that when you're in that place of hurting, it's like it's a gift. What I've been given right now is a gift of life. So I get to choose what I do with my life right now, and then I just trust him with the process.
Yeah.
And having said that, I would say, and having done that, do all. Like go get your body checked out. Like go to the top nutritionists, you know, like fertility nutritionists. Like do your research. Like
go to counselors, I left it
too late to see a specialist that could have helped me a lot earlier. Yeah, go to psychologists and counselors. Like, work it out so that there's a peace and a true godly surrender, and find great supports, you know. Like, if you want to know, I'm happy for any of your listeners to reach out to me, and I'm happy to give them who I spoke to. Yeah. But just, like, get that, you know. Don't waste time. If you feel like there's an issue, then go and get checked out straight away. Mm-hmm. Don't take responsibility in terms of blame, but take responsibility in terms of action.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then find people in your corner that'll back you in that, you know, and that'll mind, you know, your cat or your dog or the child you do have while you go and get checked up, or like that'll, you know, don't mind cooking you a unique meal when you go over for dinner because it's in your, you know, your dietary requirements. and do it, because there is some great stuff out there and there is hope, and don't give up hope, because that's I think that's why we push through to five, because we're like, we'll fight until it's done, and then at that point we were done. And then
what was that like for you to like decide?
Well, it was actually we ended up at a IVF clinic, not to do IVF, but to find out what other, you know, the options are that were non-invasive.
Because you guys decided you didn't want to do IVF.
I couldn't. There was a point there that they said that when they fertilize the embryo, the egg and the sperm, that they then look at them and decide which ones are wonky and which ones are decent, and then do genetic testing on them to see if there's anything else. And then you have to sign off permission for them to discard anything, any embryos that may have some kind of genetic deformity or disease. And I couldn't do that because ethically it felt like I was, for me personally, it felt like I was playing God, because if I conceive naturally, I don't choose.
Yeah.
So here I am in a clinic that they make me choose, and I'm like, I couldn't deal.
And so you just didn't want to put yourself in that position.
No, I just couldn't. And I couldn't personally. And some people can. I just couldn't. I struggled. Anyway, so, and she'd said at that point, because my egg count was so low, that I would have as much chance conceiving naturally as I would through that process.
So it wouldn't, there's no point.
No point. Yep. And the financial cost was exponential.
And the cost on your body.
And the cost on my body and my mind. And then she said I could ask a friend or family to donate an egg. And I'm like, oh, no, that's just going to mess with my head.
Yeah, like, I can't.
I can't. It was like, all right, well, we'll just leave it up to the Lord.
Yeah,
okay. So, you know, if I get pregnant in 10 years, you know it was Jesus.
Yeah, totally, 100%.
Yeah, so walking out of that, I mean, like, it felt – there was a sense of peace around it, because at least we go, okay, now we know, like, we've done all. Yes. So now we just stand. So now we just trust God with whatever. So it took off. No more needles, no more injections, no more. We could go about being a normal, healthy married couple that enjoyed intimacy for our marriage's sake and for each other's sake. And we didn't have to, because it's on the clock otherwise. And it's just... I got married late as a virgin. Like, I didn't get married to do intimacy on the clock.
Yeah, it really does destroy your romance, doesn't it?
I don't know how much G-rated this has to be, but it honestly destroyed our romance for a number of years. And I was too old to have waited to get married to have it mucked up like that.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And I'm like, no. And so, it was really good to kind of, in that sense, have a final and just trust God with whatever and just get on loving Benj and, raising him and moving forward.
Yeah.
And
Did it feel like life was paused a bit in that? Like,
it was, we were on a cycle. So it was like, we couldn't book holidays around certain times. Yep. We couldn't, what obstetrician, what needles, what needed to be done. For anyone going through it, my heart goes out to them. It's a massive commitment.
Yeah. Yeah, it really
is. It's a full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just and to work that hard for a gift, it kind of begs the question,
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah, like.
And at the same time, you totally understand, because people want to have kids.
Yeah.
Like,
I get it. And I think and that goes back to, my stance on wanting children was, from how I was raised, and I'm sure that speaks for a lot of people, but we can also go, we live in a society where we need to have X amount of children or not or whatever, and it goes back to that commodification of children almost, or like plan, scan.
But even also, like, identity, is our identity in having children, or is our identity in Christ as Christian women, you know? And it is, because like you said, it's funny because we live in a society where we're like, where women, we don't need kids. Kids are a pain and they can be a detriment.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like, well, you're a woman, you should be able to have kids. Yeah. There's something wrong with you if you can't.
Yeah.
It's so confusing.
It really is so confusing.
Yeah. And like, everyone has different motivations. And I think as women, it's just coming back to actually our identity is in Christ. It's not as a child bearer and it's not as a career woman.
Yeah.
It's in Christ.
And why do we have children?
And then
children?
That feeds what our identity is.
Yeah, and I mean, like, ideally, we think having children, it's not a status thing or to replicate or to carry on the family name, but as Christians, like, we're having children so that they can go and do good on the earth and that they can populate it and
glorify God
and, lead men into salvation through, how they act, how their life acts out and how the choices they make. And
it's like Psalm. What is it? Psalm where it says they're a quiver in the man.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he's proud of his wife and his family, and these children go forth like a quiver in the arrow. Like, so they shoot forth and they share the gospel.
What is it? Yeah.
I know. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I was like, if I try and quote it,
children are like a quiver in the hands of the righteous or something like that.
I was like, if I try and quote it, I'm gonna
yep.
slaughter no, that verse.
It's in the Bible. Yeah, but I know, and that's and I think that's our ultimate purpose. So whether you have 1 or 100, you know, yeah. 1 or 10, like yeah. that should be the goal, and, yeah. and trusting them into, unto the Lord. But for those that like have no, and I think one of the things that you know you mentioned at the beginning, the word infertility, and I never considered myself infertile.
Yeah, like, but that's it, a real part of the journey.
Yeah,
for you.
And that's what people, doctors have said, you know, infertile. I'm like, what? And I think I hate labels, even that. Like, I have celiac disease, right? But I don't say I have a disease.
Yeah.
Or I'm, you know. It's like, yeah, I have a thing that impacts my health, but it's actually, not who I am. It's not who I am.
No.
So I'm a great, not great. I'm a woman that, like, lives her great, best life, you know, but it's not.
Mm.
I'm not, I don't have infertility.
Yeah, my womb
it, it's
isn't
impacted
my, yes.
by infertility, or, you know, it seems to not be super fertile, but it's not, it doesn't identify me. Mm. You know, don't put me in that box.
Yeah.
And I think if someone has said that, use that word over any of your listeners, I think you need to, like, take it to the cross and rebuke
no,
that
totally.
Word
yeah,
because that's not who you are.
No.
That is something that's impacting your fertility at the moment or your ability to reproduce, but it's not who you are.
It's not. No. Yeah. No, that's right. It's looking at the cross, looking at Christ and going, that's who I am.
And there's so much in our lives that are fertile ground.
Yes.
That doesn't come out of our
womb.
I
like that.
Yeah.
That was, yeah. That was
that'll
good,
preach.
That bit there.
Yeah, but there is like you know, the Proverbs 31 woman, you know, goes about her family, doesn't mention how many children or lack of
no,
she has.
No.
Yeah.
And she impacts a variety of people.
Yep.
It's not just her children.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I think that's a really important part to mention is we're going to reach children, whether they're ours or someone
yep.
else's, and impact them. So how do we do that well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think you said, oh, what's a terrible thing to say? I'm thinking, oh, I remember people going, oh, you'll have spiritual children. And I'm like, can just no one ever say that?
Like, it's not the same. Yeah.
Because, yes, we will.
That's good to know.
We know that.
I might have veered close to that with some people before. I'm so
look,
sorry.
We know that bit, you know.
Yeah.
We know that. But no.
Yes. It's not what you need.
It's not what you need. And I'm like, I get that. I embrace that. That will be part of the journey. But that will be part of the journey whether I have 10 children or none children.
Yes.
None
yes.
children, like my grandma.
Yep.
No children, yes. So, and I think, yeah, like just I hate boxes and names and things that you need to, we need to pigeonhole people because they're like infertile and they're super fertile. They got 6 kids. No, they're just, got a bigger family.
Yeah. And I think it's really important you say that because the reality is in Australia, 1 in 4 women, 1 in 4 pregnancies will miscarry.
Yeah.
Which is a high stat. It means it's around us everywhere and it's going to impact people. Either it's going to impact us listening to this or it's going to at least impact people we know around us.
Yeah.
So it's let's not box it in. Let's not let that become the identity or the way we see or view that person, but rather meet them in that suffering, in that pain and help them journey through that with hope.
Yeah. And I think I remember being with a friend that's going through this journey at the moment and I'm like, I think the best question is where are you at in the journey at the moment? Because you don't know if they're taking a break from the whole drugs and medication and thing or whether they've, you know, surrendered everything to the Lord and they're just letting nature do its course or if they are in the middle of like a weeping moment, you know?
Yeah.
So
just asking
where
the question.
Are you, you know? Like, because if they're like, we're going for round 2 tomorrow or we're trying or this is the month we find out, then you stand with them, believe, you know?
Yeah.
And go, I am like going to be not asking you questions, but I will be petitioning heaven for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what would be like your final encouragement to maybe a woman that's in the midst of this or has been facing this?
I think just stop trying to stop identifying yourself as the problem.
Don't blame
yourself. Don't blame your partner. Don't blame family or genetics or anything. Just, you know, just go, okay, it is what it is. And now I'm going to do what I know to do to the best of my ability to get the right help, the right people around me. And whether I come through it with a child or I come through it with great faith and empty arms, I'm going to do it full of faith.
Okay.
And I'm just going to do it strong and honest.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Thank you, Jen.
And yet they're not alone.
No, yeah, that's right. They're not alone. You are not alone if you're listening to this. Reach out and find that person you can trust or people. And look, like you said, if anyone has questions or would like some referrals or just some wisdom, they can reach out onto Her Theology and I can pass you on to Jen.
Yep.
That'd be awesome. Thank you, Jen, for joining.
Oh, thank you.
That was beautiful. Like we said, ladies, if you've enjoyed this lesson, if you've enjoyed this episode, maybe it was a lesson, I don't know.
Yeah.
Please feel free to share, like, love, subscribe, review. And if not, we will see you, or not see you, I'll chat to you next time.